Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And, yeah, here we go. It's 3 minutes past the hour. I had to wrestle the internet for a couple of seconds trying to get this program on the air. It seems even the internet was not particularly plussed about this day. But here we are. Yes, indeed. It is Friday, the 20th day of January, 2017, the day America died. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. It is part of the beating heart of the resistance against the American fascism that was announced for all the world to hear today. And me, I'm little anti-fascist Bob Kincaid. And it's Friday on the front porch, and I couldn't be happier that this is happening. I mean, I'm not happy about what happened today, but I'm pleased that this is happening on a Friday so that we have a Friday on the front porch conversation we can have about this nightmare into which we have awakened in Trump-merca. Jesus, God. There were little bright spots, sure. I mean, as inaugurations go, it was a pretty much empty house. Not a lot of people hanging out to watch the parade, you know, the one rocket and the Kleagle Clavern Kazoo band marching in their sheets and pillowcases, and the neo-Nazi beer hall putsch tuba corps. No. So we'll talk about all of that, I guess, today, this evening. A note. The Horn is, of course, an independent broadcasting operation, and that means that there are no ads. That means that there's no inducements for you to purchase herbal remedies to either give you an erection or more hair, or both, all whilst listening to your Bose Wave radio housed in your General Steel building, floored with your lumber liquidators, the floor probably made with hardwood from some oppressed quarter of the globe, and, you know, mattresses, Swedish mattresses made out of NASA foam and bowling balls. Buy gold now. None of that's here. We are a humble broadcast operation. We kid about Gulfstream Fives and Agnes's masseur and the Maybach, and but none of that is really happening. No, we try to raise $200 every evening, so that we can keep this thing running on the shoestring upon which it has run for, yea, verily, lo and behold, the last 12 years. For those of you who would like to help keep it going, the website, the PayPal interface page is at headonradionetwork.com under the tab Contribute, and it's streamlined and simplified. And if you'd like to become a monthly subscriber, there's a box there. You just check it and it says, make this a recurring monthly donation, and boom, you're in. Because we need subscribers. And we need contributors. If you don't want to do the subscription thing, you just put the number in the box and you get to the next screen. That having been said, I am happy to announce that our subscribers did take down the deficit that we had remaining from last night. And, as a bonus, in memory of his father, Benjamin Ulrich, Andy, in Chicago, kicked in a have a show on me this evening. Dwayne and Paul also kicked in to help make up for last night's deficit, so that we are in a place where if we can just keep at it, we can start taking a bite out of next week, and we'll try to raise the $200 this evening, and that'll be More In Monday, and on More In Monday, we'll actually be working on Titanic Tuesday. So hopefully that'll happen. But if it does, if it doesn't, you know, the fundraising goal has been largely met. And there is at least that much sweat on top of the generalized worry about what comes next for this once great nation is allayed. So anyway, if you prefer the U.S. Postal Service, you can always go to, send checks and money orders to The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. Again, checks and money orders, because we share a mailbox. We have a mailbox in the same UPS store that the Klan does. Now, I imagine they were all in Washington, D.C. celebrating today, or at least the Kleagle or the Cyclops or the Exalted Noble Turk or whatever the hell he is. Was probably in D.C. celebrating the ascension of the orange fascist today. But anyway, Boss Man Wayne loves it when there's mail in the mailbox, of which there has not been a great deal lately. Anyway, that's that part. If you do, and let's go from there. First of all, anybody who thought they were going to affect ratings by not watching today, you didn't. If you chose not to watch because you chose not to support the rise of American fascism, good on you. But it's not going to have any effect on ratings unless you're a Nielsen family. Okay? Yeah. I thought I would start. This clip was provided to me yesterday, and I held it in abeyance for today because I thought it might be an interesting jumping off point for where we find ourselves now. It's a conversation from the Movie Network. Faye Dunaway and Robert Duvall talking about network ratings. Check it out. This happens, by the way, in the way of setup, after Howard Beale goes off on the previous night and yells bullshit.
Last night, Howard Beale went on the air and yelled bullshit for 2 minutes, and I can tell you right now that tonight's show will get a 30 share at least. I think we've lucked into something.
Oh, for God's sakes, Diana, you suggested we put that lunatic back on the air yelling bullshit.
Yes. I think we should put Beale back on the air tonight and keep him on. Did you see the news this morning? Did you see the Times? We've got press coverage on this you couldn't buy for $1 million. Frank, That dumb show jumped 5 rating points in one night. Tonight's show has got to be at least 15. We just increased our audience by 20 or 30 million people in one night. Now, you're not going to get something like this dumped in your lap for the rest of your days, and you can't just piss it away. Howard Beale went up there last night and said what every American feels, that he's tired of all the bullshit. He's articulating the popular rage. I want that show, Frank. I can turn that show into the biggest smash on television.
What do you mean you want that show? It's a news show. It's not your department.
I see Howard Beale as a latter-day prophet, a magnificent messianic figure inveighing against the hypocrisies of our times, a strip Savonarola Monday through Friday that, I tell you, Frank, could just go through the roof. And I'm talking about a $6 cost per thousand show. I'm talking about $130,000 minutes. Do you want to figure out the revenues of a strip show that sells for $100,000 a minute? One show like that could pull this whole network right out of the hole. Now, Frank, it's being handed to us on a plate. Let's not blow it.
Yes. Tell him I'll be a few minutes. Let me think it over.
Frank, let's not go to committee on this. It's 20 after 10. We want Beale in that studio by 6:30. We don't want to lose the momentum.
For God's sakes, Diana, we're talking about putting a manifestly irresponsible man on national television.
And there you have it. Somewhere along the way, and then, of course, it's 1976, brilliant work by Patty Chayefsky. Somewhere along the way, that conversation was replicated, more or less, in the highest echelons of NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, and Fox. And they all decided that Donald Trump's little reality show shtick would be great for them. And thus, we get, you know, today. We get today when, shortly after being inaugurated, the climate change page on whitehouse.gov disappeared. Descriptions at the Labor Department of the rights of LGBT workers disappeared. Whoops! Down the memory hole. A lot of other things are going to be disappearing. Hell, we may be disappearing. But I think there's a pretty clear path put forward. And absolutely not. If you're one of those people who's,
well, I think we just need to give him a chance. He's all our president now.
No. Hell no. Oh, hell no. You know, beyond the how much of a chance did they give Barack Obama, he started with his chance taking almost immediately, and it ain't good. And then there was the speech. Dear God, the speech. I didn't have it in my gut to put up with the pre-show and the happy talk from the likes of Joe and Mika and Wolf and the various and sundry talking heads. I tuned in when it was just about time for the fecal tsunami to strike the United States of America. So I got to watch as Melanoma Trump, who, you know, look, we have entered the era of diminished expectations. So we have to find our little silver linings where we can. One of those silver linings? Melanoma decided to wear clothes today. Yay! Yay for the dignity of the First Lady! Yay! But it extends only so far, because, and I'm not kidding, the White House website, the redesign went live at noon, is now hustling melanomas QVC jewelry collection. No, really.
Melanoma timepieces and fashion jewelry.
The homepage for the First Lady talks about her modeling career and her penchant and passion for the arts, architecture, design, fashion, and beauty. And then starts talking about her jewelry collection for QVC. So, how about maybe another silver lining? The fact that right now, I mean, granted, we have to be realistic about these sorts of things, but right now, this very minute, if we had a responsible Congress that gave a tinker's damn about the Constitution, Donald Trump, or Andy Kaufman, I'm still not convinced, is, as we speak, without doing another blessed thing, impeachable. He really is. He's just one big walking adipose lump of corruption and unconstitutionalism. So if something should happen, and we were to get a responsible Congress, and two-thirds of a responsible Senate, he would be almost automatically removable from office. And you know what? The Trumpanzees could just go pound sand because they are a minority and he is a minority president. Note coming in from Gerald. As you know, says Gerald, here in West Trump, Virginia, it's nothing but cheers and hoorays for the orange one. Yep, West Virginia, where 2 out of 3 voters supported Donald Trump. I'm sitting here thinking about how this happened. The only conclusion I can come up with is that it's a complicated answer. I think I'm going to unplug for the weekend. My Facebook feed is full of nothing but praises for the Trump. I don't want to deal with that right now. Supposedly, all of the WhiteHouse.gov info was moved to ObamaWhiteHouse.gov. I don't know. But you know what? All that talk about how he was just going to sit on the sidelines, Barack Obama may want to rethink that if he really does give a rat's ass about climate change. Because that terrifying diatribe, I will not classify it as oratory or a speech. That diatribe had everything in it but the word Lebensraum. And it was weird and terrifying. Over there in the for-profit media, Jake Tapper called it one of the most radical inaugural speeches we've ever heard. It was radical. Clarence writing in says, people's government, my ass. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, that Clarence points to an article from The Intercept. On his first day in office, Trump raises taxes on middle-class homebuyers. That's absolutely true. And what? National Endowment for the Humanities? National Endowment for the Arts? Goodbye! We don't need no arts in Trump-merica. We got the Melanoma Trump Jewelry Collection, and that's enough art for us. Ron and Raleigh, subject line, the Dunning-Kruger effect in full effect. I don't know of anyone who more personifies the Dunning-Kruger effect than Donald Trump. A quote that exemplifies the effect is by Charles Bukowski. The problem with the world is that intelligent people are full of doubts while stupid ones are full of confidence. We are in for Mr. Toad's wild ride for the next 4 years. P.S. It was the poor that sent our industries to China. And from a man who is ordinarily quite erudite, a search for words on the part of Ron in the partially frozen north. Fuck! Just fuck! I feel like we've just been transported to a parallel universe. All Toby Keith. All the time. You know, I could say that, well, I'll never purchase another tune by Blues Traveler. I won't go see them, but... And Rascal... I was never in much of a likelihood of purchasing anything from Rascal Flatts. We now know why Jackie Evancho was a runner-up on America's Got Talent and not the winner. Flat! But that speech... any minute, I expected him to simply yell, Haben Sie gehört, haben Sie gewortet sein, and wave his arm. But that's okay. For those of you who didn't watch it, I'm sure you'll see photos sometime in the near future. The white power fist. The white power fist pump was on display, and he was, you know, one muscle movement away from it just going straight out in a stiff arm salute. But that's okay. If you watch the parade, the neo-Nazis and the Klansmen were there doing that. Sieg Heil, y'all. Really? So, what else? Well, some notes. GK with a note. I could only watch the farce in D.C. through Democracy Now!, but I had to mute the ramblings of the Orange Menace with Tiny Hands et al. On a lighter side, here in Rochester, the last right-wing stronghold in Minnesota is having its sister march in solidarity tomorrow. I'm going to be there to show my support, as it were. Good. I'm glad. Another note. The presidency of one Donald J. Trump, we're going from Obama nation to an Obama nation. Steve in New York says, what the Trump ascension tells us is this. Mothers of Oompa Loompas everywhere can now tell their children that in electing an orange president, they too can grow up to be president. Parenthetically, Steve notes, I had to find any humor I possibly could. By the way, the LGBT page is gone from WhiteHouse.gov. Peter Godbold, my friend and colleague, pointed that out earlier, noting simply, so soon we were disappeared. And this, share it along as a way of remembering from Reverbo, the human boy. And he sent it to me. I read this today and thought you would like it as well. Some say it was essentially over 41 years ago that the whole thing came to an end on the last day of 1969, just like the final 20-second crescendo of the Beatles' A Day in the Life. We were right there, as close as we've ever come, in the midst of a glorious, triumphant run. Instead of the floor, pie-eating Homer Simpson, we had the trim, space-age Jetsons, and Martha and the Vandellas asked, are we ready for a brand new beat? It felt like we were on the verge of something we've never quite recaptured. Has it really been all downhill from there? Or have we always existed, as Joe Bagent said, inside an elaborately constructed hologram of America, our values and feelings, in fact, our decisions already selected and programmed for us? Instead of Tomorrowland, we got Greedyland, our hands still grimy with oil and the earth still pockmarked with bomb craters. We are not only faced with taking back our government and our country, but our minds. Reverbo continues, you know who wrote that? Me, 7 years ago. Excerpted from my first column for The Horn, A Cavalcade of Crazy. The sad part is, I could have written it today. At Trump's majestic funeral service, when asked, does anyone want to say something good about the deceased, someone will say, well, Pence was worse. How many more presidential terms do we have before it all collapses into a 19th century world of aristocrats and serfs? Welcome to USA Inc., folks. It's always been heading this way. Now, we've just made it official. That whole prophecy thing can be tough, Reverbo. But I'm awfully glad you found that and sent it along. Ron and Raleigh noting, this sounds familiar. Hey, Bob, a little fellow with a funny mustache once said, Ein Staat, ein Volk, ein Führer. It sounds better in the original German, doesn't it? Well, his whole speech today was more compelling in the original German. All the news that prevents fits. Good place to keep sanity. BBC World Service. Comes in loud and clear, even in China. Regards, Steve, in China. And God Almighty, his first official act was to go in and sign the appointments for his cabinet secretaries. And at one point in time, looking rather befuddled, he looked up and said, Betsy, education, right? Right, sir. Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Did you miss me? Oh, and by the way, I don't know if that's just how the kid is, But it struck me that young Baron, the cyber genius, according to his septuagenarian Peppy, young Baron either has a terrible case of the fidgets, or he was auditioning to portray Rusty in the next National Lampoon's Vacation installment. My God, if the Obama girls had behaved like him today, Mrs. Robinson would have taken them out back the White House and taught them some manners. That kid's just strange. Larry with a note. I took your advice and didn't even bother to turn the TV on or get online till your show came. I couldn't bear it. Since my dad retired about 5 years ago, a moderate guy has now been completely brainwashed by the fascist organization of xenophobes. Get it? Fascist organization xenophobes, F-O-X. And he had to call me, though, all excited, and ask if I was watching it. He knew the answer to that already. He was just calling to rub it in. Much love to the Horn family. We really need to stick together and make sure we're all connected, because the writing is engraved on the wall. Signed, Larry, in Oregon. Yeah, we're all in the pot together. Poor little Trumpansies, they don't understand they're in the pot, too. The only people who aren't in the pot are the damn billionaires. You know, the people who weren't going to be in the swamp but now are all in the swamp. And I don't know who believed that baloney about how we're going to take power from Washington and give it back to the people. But it was an interesting turn of phrase, if you can call it that. The entire purpose of Washington, D.C. is a manifestation of popular power as delivered via the ballot box. So for those who were paying attention, Donald Trump said that even his own fellow travelers are illegitimate and are not doing the business of the people of the United States. Now, if we had just turned the corner from a Democratic Senate and a Democratic House, and yes, a Democratic president, to the current nightmare, that kind of rhetoric is to be expected. But he said that the Republican majorities that have been running the Congress are illegitimate in their own rights. He worked in another dig at John Lewis and the people who didn't show up. The crime, the gangs, it was so terrible, terrible. Graham writing in, I don't know, can't raise Jen. I guess she's been gunning Bellini cocktails in quick succession after meeting up with her dear friend who has fled the U.S. to powwow with her regards, well, what to do. I scanned the transcript of his blathering, and for some reason, I can't get past this. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit, poor Detroit. Why did Detroit get a weird specific mention? I don't know why I find this so odd, even disturbing. I just tried to imagine our prime minister giving an address. By the way, we don't have to endure such pageantry here. Phew. And hearing my suburb specifically pointed out for mention in such a dark diatribe. I don't know. It's just weird. P.S. missed it. What did the kid from the Omen, Baron, do? Ah, what he did was fidget. And, you know, we're not talking about a 3 or a 4-year-old. That you expect fidgeting from them. This is a 10, 11, 12-year-old brat. Who was apparently allowed to bring his smartphone with him and spent a lot of the time with his head down looking at his hands and just slouched. It's pitiful. Poor melanoma looked like if she actually smiled, her face would fall off. And that may be the case. Ron says, I'd feel more comfortable if you would leave Baron off the menu. If he's autistic, it's unfair comment. If he's simply a spoiled little rich kid, we can let him have it down the road. Ordinarily, I would agree, Ron. But the other side certainly felt no compunctions along those lines regarding Sasha and Malia. And, the American Sulla put him in play himself. By the way, Clarence pointing out, the civil rights page was removed with the climate change and LGBT pages as well at whitehouse.gov. So much for diversity and science facts. And beyond that, it should be noted that there is talk now. I don't know if it's just talk, but there are some 600-odd federal appointments that he still hasn't made. And one of the most notable of those is the notable absence of a head of the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. Not there. Hasn't been appointed. And it is worth remembering that the guy who will be Attorney General, Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, well, he once remarked of civil rights suits that he had passed off to some lower functionary. I just wish I could decline them all. No, really. Ron pointing out, David Duke for the head of the Civil Rights Division. You heard it here first. Oh, that would make sense if they decide to have one at all. And there's a possibility that the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice will simply disappear. Because we don't need one anymore. Because there's no more racism in America. You know, unless it's reverse racism against white people. Yeah? I'm doing my best here, Marty. Marty says, please, no audio. I haven't played any clips from it yet. The religious aspect of the thing today. Oh, that's true. Labor man in the chat room pointing out. But Bob, we don't need no stinking civil rights anymore. No fascist regime does. no, it was just, it, there was no ask not for what you can do for what your country can do for you. No, none of that. He actually called upon the nation. It's in there. The word is in there. Go check the context out for yourself if you so desire. Don't take my word for it. He called upon the United States to bleed. And I got cold chills. He called upon the people of the United States to bleed. And like I said, the religious aspect of the thing was equally disgusting. There was a prosperity gospel grifter. There was Franklin Graham, who puts most prosperity gospel grifters to shame and declared that rain is a sign of God's blessing. He ad-libbed that. No, really, rain's a sign of God's blessing. You know, as long as you're not counting that whole Noah story that he thinks is a literal historic fact. Then a collaborator rabbi got up and called upon and made reference to, you know, that whole by the rivers of Babylon, cried, we remember the Jerusalem business. And then an African-American bishop got up and blathered something. And hey, there was a Roman Catholic cardinal who participated in covering up the rape of little children. There was no imam. There was likely no imam because in the speech, he declared that we would wipe out radical Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth. No, really. Interestingly, there was no mention of wall building, no mention of rounding up 11 million people and putting them in concentration camps and subsequently disappearing them. Maybe because that's nearest and dearest to his heart. It will, of course, be impossible to wipe out, to eradicate radical Islam from the face of the earth. In no small part because it has the backing of one of our nearest and dearest allies, our partners in peace. You know, the royal, serene, noble, majestic graciousness of the House of Ibn Saud. Because Wahhabism is the source of a significant amount of that there radical Islamic terrorism. But when you go talking about wiping anything from the face of the earth, that has a certain genocidal overtone for anybody who has a working, functioning knowledge of history. That working, functioning knowledge of history would have also come in handy. When on more than one occasion he started talking about America first, America first, America first. Of course, Trumpansies have no working knowledge. Of what America first means. And since they're neo-Nazi fascist collaborators and sympathizers, well, they probably wouldn't care if you told them. The direct quote, my foreign policy will always put the interests of the American people and American security above all else. That'll be the foundation of every decision that I will make. America first will be the major and overriding theme of my administration. America first was actually an organization. It started around 1940. And it started at Yale University among Douglas Stewart Jr., Gerald Ford, and future Supreme Court Justice Potter Stewart, who circulated a petition they had written that said, "We demand that Congress refrain from war even if England is on the verge of defeat." They wanted to negotiate a peace with Adolf Hitler. It was a manifestation of isolationism. And lots of people jumped on board. Hundreds of America First chapters blossomed across America in a wave of fascism that consumed this country at that time. It soon expanded from isolationism to anti-Semitism. One Kansas chapter of America First declared President Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor Roosevelt to be Jewish and claimed that Winston Churchill was a half-Jew. Charles Lindbergh spoke at the America First rally in Des Moines, Iowa in September 1941. He claimed that FDR had manufactured, his word, incidents to create a means by which the United States could get into the war. And then he said, on a podium in Des Moines, Iowa, in September 1941, "The British and the Jewish races, for reasons which are not American, wish to involve us in the war. Their greatest danger to this country lies in their large ownership and influence in our motion pictures, our press, our radio, and our government." That is where America First came from. And that is the nasty little crock of festering, fermenting feces that Donald Trump stirred up today. and called America to bleed for. Meanwhile, somewhere in Moscow, Pooty Poot, Big Bad Vladdy Daddy, was grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. Note coming in from Steve in New York. Hey, Bob, I'm very sorry, but I just can't listen more tonight. I can't take even remotely discussing or even pondering the putsch that happened today. I'm sorry, I really need a self-imposed news blackout today. However, given that I am 100% supporter of my brothers and sisters at the Horn, I offer a $10 challenge. Thank you, Steve. So Steve will kick in 10 if somebody else will kick in 10. Thank you very much, Steve. And I understand that, but listen, don't give up completely. We're about to, this is just the filibuster. We're about to fire up the extraordinary, ordinary roundtable that is Friday on the front porch. And who knows what we'll be talking about there. Quite often, we manage to not talk about this stuff. Sometimes we talk about barbecue or what's good to watch on TV. If you're still there, Steve, you might want to not give up, because this is where this community excels, in bolstering each other when bolstering is the last thing we think we're capable of being. Subject line, wait a minute! At least it's not Bob, Bob, Bob. Ron in Raleigh says, was Lucky Lindy doing Alex Jones before Alex Jones? False flag, false flag. Because that's what he was doing. He was claiming that FDR, Jew FDR, was creating false flags to get us into the Second World War. And what's fascinating is that some of that shit still percolates down to us in the present. You can find people to this day who will swear and be damned that FDR knew Pearl Harbor was coming. Marty pointing out, funny how history fails to mention that Chucky was an anti-Semite. Lindbergh. Keith says simply, he's not my president. If anybody is illegitimate, it is Herr Klump. I don't think he has the intelligence to tie his own shoes. I share your sentiment, Keith, and I'm glad to know you're there. And please give your lovely wife our best wishes. Coming in from Graham. Regarding Barron, I remember very clearly the Obama girls were amazing the entire time, but one very specific moment stood out for both Jennifer and I. The poise and awareness is such in such young girls was a thing to behold. I believe it was during his victory speech in 2012. The entire family was on stage, and they were all thanking the crowd, waving and bowing. The audience was so large that many were behind the president, but he was only waving to the people in front of him. The moment. His beautiful, intelligent, perceptive little girl touched her father's hand. He bent to listen. Into his ear, she briefly spoke and pointed behind them. He tapped her head, thanked her, stood and turned to acknowledge the people behind him. And the crowd roared. It was a very quick moment, which may have gone unnoticed, but for us it was so touching. And, well, kind of sums up how so many of us are feeling. Obama had his faults, but he was human. And he had warmth, and for love of all that's sane, he has sanity. And yes, his family is beautiful, and somehow that does matter. It does indeed. John Fox pointing out, the new administration on Friday said it's canceling a reduction in the Federal Housing Administration's annual fee for most borrowers. The cut would have reduced the annual premium on someone borrowing $200,000 by $500 the first year. It will amount to millions of dollars in punishment imposed upon not wealthy attempters at home buying. And, of course, there's always the protests. A few blocks over from the parade route, you know, where not very many people were, the provocateurs got busy, smashing some store windows and the like. This, in turn, caused the D.C. police to bring out their pepper spray and flashbang grenades. And it probably continues into the evening. John Neffel over at Truthout reports it remains to be seen exactly how law enforcement will change under Trump and whether he will actively pursue some of his most discriminatory campaign promises like subjecting Muslims to increased surveillance and deporting millions of undocumented immigrants. But it is already clear that the country is in for an unprecedented assault on ethics regulations and legal obligations from the White House. And all the signs point to a renewed era of harsh law enforcement for the rest of the country, focused on primarily on already heavily policed and marginalized communities. Of course, in order to satisfy his Klansmen and his neo-Nazis and their fellow travelers and collaborators in white America, he referenced in his speech the horrible crime, horrible, terrible gang problems, which, of course, are less than they have been in a decade. But in his sick and twisted mind, there will always be horrible gang problems as long as there are, you know, black people in America. Thanks very kindly to Clarence for meeting Steve in New York's challenge. Thank you very much indeed, Clarence. That's very kind of you. John points out more than 1,000 protesters showed up at the American Embassy in London to protest the inauguration of Donald Trump. The Mirror reporting that demonstrators also unveiled a massive banner, unfurled a massive banner, saying sexist. Oh, and by the way, guess who's going to be our ambassador to the Court of St. James? The owner of the New York Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Graham just kicked in, too. Thank you, Graham. But Graham notes, well, that's it for me now, too. I'm bloody crying. I'll have to join Steve. I miss my wife. I know she's being comforted where she is, and that's a comfort. Thank you for what you do, Bob. Thank you, Graham, for being there and being part of this conversation. And thank you for keeping Jen a part of this conversation via her correspondence to you from Bella Italia. Where it's a little worrisome. Earthquakes, avalanches, people dying. That's me, Bob Kincaid. Little ray of sunshine. But if you've got some happy news to share, please, please do. I would welcome it. I would revel in it. But for now, it's time to fire up the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Friday on the front porch via the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, capably moderated each and every Friday by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran Horn Malloy Skype chat group moderator Sparky. So as we fire that up, well, we'll take a little break. This is listener-supported conversation radio about to embark upon one of the most unique progressive radio phenomenon, to wit, the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable of Friday on the Front Porch. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Meet me at the station underneath the clock. Carry an umbrella, no need to talk. The man in the humbug hiding in the fog will be watching. Get yourself a ticket, go through the gate. At 7:45 precisely, don't be late. If anybody follows, don't hesitate, keep on walking. And take the night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there will be a stain on his tunic, a paper underneath the sun. Then you gotta pray that he doesn't look away, or you'll never, never, never come back. When you get the paper, take a look inside. On page 27, there's a photo of a bride. Underneath the story of a man who died in Morocco. Memorize the article word for word. The man in the humbug understands the code. Make sure the conversation isn't overheard, they're around you. Upon that night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there will be a stain on his tunic, a paper underneath the sun. Then you gotta pray that it doesn't look away, or you'll never, never, never come back. Ask if there was anybody else, but I know you got the knack of taking care of yourself. They don't know your face, so there won't be anyone looking for you. When you get to Munich, we'll be waiting in the car. Don't look around, just walk straight out. If you don't show, I'm sorry for the pain I caused you. Upon that night train to Munich, rumbling down the track. After half an hour in the restaurant car, look for the conductor and there will be a stain on his tunic, a paper underneath the sun. Then you gotta pray that he doesn't look away, or you'll never, never, never come back. Thank you.
Yeah, I liked that. And it seemed kind of appropriate. So, Night Train to Munich from Between the Wars, Al Stewart. I know. I have I like, some people don't like Al Stewart. I like Al Stewart a lot. I like me some meaningful, history-laden lyrics. Let's go over and check in with the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable via Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Hey, Bob. Did I confuse you the other night when I was talking about spring pruning?
Well, kind of, because, you know, it's like January.
Yeah, but you got to get it done before spring because things start to bud.
Well, okay. Yeah, okay.
So I just wanted to let you know, it's still wintertime here.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, for another 15 minutes?
Well, it doesn't look... I mean, the way the storms have been coming one after another, I mean, it's so freaking wet around here. It's just unbelievable. I had a flock of about 40 geese land in the pasture this morning because there's so much standing water on it.
They didn't realize it wasn't water. FUD.
Well, it's water. It's just standing water from the rain.
I know, but you suddenly you
conjured super saturated ground. It won't sink in.
So somehow you just conjured in me the memory of Les Nessman saying they landed like sacks of wet cement.
No, but they're fun to watch. They're a local flock. There's a big pond about a half a mile away that they hang out on most of the time. And then they go down to the river all the time, too.
What river is that?
The Sacramento River.
Oh, okay.
Which is chocolate brown right at the moment.
Full of silt and mud?
Yeah. I mean, from the high water coming down the creeks. There was two little places here that did kind of sort of flood a week back. I mean, a little town of Tehama and then Woodson Bridge State Park. There's a boat ramp there. It kind of got high water. Because people do fish on the river.
Can you eat the fish out of the Sacramento River?
Used to be. Used to have a good salmon run. I don't know about now. I haven't been following them. I've been kind of out of the loop since I quit working. I had a couple friends, you know, that I worked with that were avid fishermen. And they went trout fishing in it, and they caught salmon when they were running.
Pretty swift river?
Yeah, because it's not real wide where it comes, because it comes right out of Shasta Dam.
Ah, okay. Marty wants to know, are you north or south of Shasta Dam? I take it south?
I'm south now. To drive there now takes me about 45 minutes. When I lived in Redding, it only took me about 20 minutes to get there.
So I trust you didn't watch this foolishness today?
No, I didn't. I was gonna sleep straight through it, Bob. Cause it's only 9 o'clock out here, and I stay up late all the time.
Well, that's true.
And you can do that when you're retired. So about 9:10 this morning, sister-in-law calls, goes, "Are you guys watching the inauguration of Demon Christ or something like that? I forget what you call him right at the moment. I just did a couple of vapes. So I'll go talk to somebody else."
That's, you know what?
Antichrist.
Antichrist, yeah. Yeah, but that's probably the most appropriate and honest statement that may have been made in broadcast anywhere today. Sparky, I just did a couple of vapes. Go talk to somebody else. I think we all wish we could have just done a couple of vapes, Sparky.
Yeah.
But that being the case, I'll check in with Steve from Georgia Stan. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, Bob? Just licking my wounds here, man. How you doing, brother?
I'm okay. I'm here. I have not put a swirly straw into a bottle of tequila yet.
And we are steamless for the moment, I think.
I might have shut him off. I'm sorry.
Oh.
Wrong button. Happens to me all the time.
Mm-hmm. That was weird. Somebody just tried to call me. I don't know. I was already connected.
No, it was me. I hit the wrong button.
Oh, okay. That's cool. No worries.
Hey, Steve. You're back.
I thought I may have been vaping too much, too, but I got asthma and hadn't vaped for 20 years, so maybe it was a flashback.
Yeah, you got to go edibles, right?
Yeah, gummy bears and whatnot.
Just as long as you don't go with the sugar-free Haribo gummy bears. Just it's a terrifying experience.
As I was saying, Bob, I've just been licking my wounds and just trying to forget if today even happened, you know?
Well, for sure. Did you watch?
No.
Not even?
I couldn't.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I wouldn't have, but I felt like...
It's kind of like a train wreck, you know, where you don't want to watch, but...
Just because of what I do here, I felt like I had to.
Yep. Of course.
I felt
like
it was incumbent upon me. It's my job.
And nobody likes to throw off on the youth, but Trump's youngest son, man, it just looks like something ain't right with that kid. Is it just me?
Well, no, they swear up and down he's a genius. Of course, I don't think you'd be allowed to be a Trump and not be okay.
I don't know. The kid kind of weirded me out, man. But again, maybe it was just me. And it's mid-70s, Bob, here in the Georgia Mountains in January, so there's no global warming. It's all a hoax, you know.
Yeah, hell, who needs a climate change page?
Yeah, that's why they call it the Sun Belt, you know. We love it. But, you know, we're going to pay for this. We will. When we get some vicious ice storms in February and March, and winter will seem like it's never going to end. And then come around April or May, it'll go back to 110 degrees. So weather has just gone crazy. It's off the nut.
Well, I mean, it's 70 there, and you're a good 500, 600 miles from me, and more like 500, south
of
me.
How about that? Same mountains, though.
It's 52 here.
That's
and we were up in the sweat. We were up in the humid 60s, and I'm not so much worried about a terrible ice storm, but in a temperate rainforest, which Appalachia is.
It is?
It is. Did you not know?
Yep, absolutely, yes.
Where you've already got a copious amount of rain, when you don't have a hard freeze in winter, the ground then becomes saturated. And so when the spring rains come, you get flooding. And this place can't handle another last year. But because of the climate change that doesn't exist, we probably will.
And the heavy winds, too, that's going to knock all the trees down and on the frontier lines and the wind stream lines. And we'll have communication aggravations. And it's just the fun never stops, does it, Bob?
God made Appalachia to train the faithful.
That's what my grandfather said. But so how's Rick doing?
I'm doing okay. I've got my bottle of Victory Gin handy. I've poured a glass, and I'm like starting to get intoxicated here.
Yeah. Did you call Randy today, or did I hear that?
A couple of days ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You're always a good call, man. Good call.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I try to check in with Randy and Norman Goldman, and you know Malloy never has callers anymore. So you know
all the rounds and
Well, I noticed Ron in the somewhat squishy thawed out north said, "What makes me think the entire Horn Family Community Congregation is going to be drunk off its ass tonight?"
Yeah.
I'm here to say that I'm not.
Not even started, Bob?
Come nope, on. Not even started. Because you guys are taking up my slack.
You don't need to have that little pint of early times put away?
Nope. Les just wrote in and said, so glad to be able to listen in tonight. You and this bottle of Jack Daniel's single barrel. He went classy, Les did. Are helping me get through the first day of the Fourth Reich.
There you go.
Victory gin, Rick?
Well, I'm being facetious. I mean, haven't we always been at war with what is it, Eurasia?
No, I know. Or I was that was me giving you an opportunity to. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I do have a craft beer I'm going to have later on tonight, I'm sure, here at the office. So, but you know, I tend not to drink that heavily. It's not that good for you.
Your liver don't like it.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're
you got to drive too.
I got to drive 30-some miles, like 30 miles.
The police don't like it either. You know?
No, it's usually not such a good idea to do that. You know?
Ended up in the Hilton on top of all the other trauma you had to deal with today. I mean, why pile on, right?
Exactly.
And I said, exactly. No, I don't drink no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze, and then it makes it hard to find the door.
I he performed that at the Greek Theater this past summer. That was great.
Oh,
Ringo is all star band.
Speaking of that, did anybody see Tony Orlando?
No, where was Dawn?
Dawn said, "To hell with this. I ain't showing, man."
Did she get? Were they ever married? Or no? I'm thinking of Captain Antonio, I guess.
Yeah, you know, Dawn were two women, Rick.
Was it two women? Okay.
And also, and Tony Orlando was never reported to be a Mormon.
Hmm. Oh, okay. So the only thing he had in his repertoire then was Tie the Yellow Ribbon. I mean, what the hell else did he have without the Dawns?
Knocked three times.
Oh, how could I forget that? Well, blow me down, man.
That's a good song, Steve. Knock three times is a cute song, I must admit.
Twice on the pot.
Yeah. I like that.
But is it worth going out to see Agent Orange to hear an aging... I mean, why couldn't he... He couldn't even get Casey in the Sunshine Band, or... How about all these cow bands? Ted Nugent or somebody?
Well, Ted apparently can't play the guitar anymore. That's what I heard somebody say.
That's what I heard. He sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell is with Blues Traveler? I used to think they were a pretty cool '90s band, Bob.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Played Explain, Bob. Trump.
Check cleared. Needed the work.
There you go. Well, I guess hey, the '90s was 20 years ago. They need the work.
John Popper, he got really heavy and had to have a. Half his stomach popped out.
Oh, God. You know? Well, that happens. You're living large sometimes, Steve. Look at the Orange Agent, Agent Orange. You know?
So Blues Travelers is playing. I didn't know that. And who else?
Rascal Flatts.
Oh, yeah.
Toby Keith.
Buddy Miles. Keith Toby, yeah. But nobody really worth a shit. Nobody I would walk across the street to see.
Now, Toby Keith offered up a caveat, as he does every time he goes and sticks his nose up some right winger's hind end. Now, I just want y'all to know I ain't no Republican. I'm a Democrat.
A Trump Democrat. Right?
Why would he even say that?
For cover.
And but I can't let I got to mention something because I had to run out just before airtime. I was fresh out of diet ginger ale, and so
the plot thickens. Why are we getting diet ginger ale, Bob?
Because that's what I drink during the program.
That's just the color. You're not adding anything to it.
Nope. Just diet ginger ale.
All right. Okay. I believe you.
I go back and forth between Fresca, diet ginger ale, and diet root beer.
Have you tried ginger beer? It's like ginger ale, but it has no alcohol in it.
No, I know what ginger beer is. Yes.
Yep.
Hey, speaking of ginger beer, my new drink is actually a Moscow Mule.
Oh yeah,
it's very tasty.
You get a Kentucky Mule. Yep.
I hear it's very popular in the Trump administration too.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yes, with the copper
And in fact, every time one of his cabinet members says Moscow Mule, Trump looks up and goes, me? What?
That's a great one, Bob.
I'm fond of Tennessee Mule myself. That has Jack Daniels in it. But go ahead.
So I was going to say something about the emoluments clause here, Bob. I sent you an email, but why don't we ask? We have a new listener here, apparently.
We do. BC is a new member of the community. Hey, BC.
BC.
Otherwise known as Plurf on Twitter.
Awesome, welcome, friend.
I've been perusing and enjoying your haikus.
Yes, I like haikus because you only need about 10 seconds of people's attention, you know, and they'll usually spare you that.
Well, welcome aboard. How's the day been?
You know, I've been on and off feeling like I almost had an ulcer since election night when Sam Cedar, when Florida changed over. That was probably the turning point in, you know, where I went, oh, shit, it's real. But I remember back Malloy going, get used to saying President Trump, President Trump. And I went, fuck you, Mike. But he was true. He's a prophet, too, isn't he?
Well, yeah, and not to take anything away, but for those of us who predicted it, it didn't take a lot of work. I mean, it really wasn't a particularly thin limb to be out on.
Well, Bob, you predicted it. Michael Moore predicted it. Mike Malloy predicted it. I mean, there's a lot of people, more than you would think, that went out on the limb, and they were absolutely right. And I was thinking, no, there's no way this country is that stupid that we're going to elect this orange idiot, you know. But I was wrong.
Oh, I was here. Yeah. I remember all the nights that we looked at 538.com, which, by the way, I've not been back to since.
Yeah, me either.
She's got 6 points in PA.
She's up by 80%. I mean, I remember saying, if you got a 20% chance of rain, sometimes what happens? It rains. But in the back of my head, I was thinking this isn't going to happen. And then election night came, and all I could do was get hammered.
Well, you know, we had a couple of things that we didn't count on, like we had the Russian interference, and I, you know, undoubtedly, you know, the Trump advisors.
Oh, now quit it, Rick. No, we didn't.
And we had the
just ask the sparkle fart powered Purity Brigade unicorns. There was no Russian interference. That's all just disinformation from the nasty, nasty CIA who are trying to cover up for the awful failings of Hillary Clinton.
And she lost because she rigged the election against Bernie, right? She rigged the primary against Bernie along with Debbie Wasserman.
They're the DNC. Oh, Donna Brazile.
Now, which one of them is the devil, Bob? Is it Hillary or?
Hillary is the devil!
Did anybody see the DNC chair debate the other night?
No, who won that thing, Duncan? I've been meaning to ask you.
Well, there was no real winner. I mean, there was seven. Okay. I thought Keith did. Ellison did the best, but the guy from South Carolina was a charmer.
So they didn't vote and anoint anybody that night or anything?
No, the election's coming up in February.
Would definitely set Ellington up as the loyal opposition, being a Muslim and all.
There's good news here in California. Bernie's supporters have taken over the Democratic Party.
That's good.
Yeah, that's what I understand. Hi there, folks.
Hey, Larry.
And I have a friend on Facebook that, from San Diego, an ex-military type that was in a group that I'm in. He's going to be a delegate now.
Well, you know something, Sparky. If I could physically handle my own needs at the party, you know, going to these meetings and all that, and I wouldn't need a lot of help, I might consider getting back involved actively with the party, but nonetheless, I'm really happy. And I hear from Norman Solomon, as you said, that there's that the progressive forces, the Sanders supporters, swept in the California Democratic Party delegate elections, and they're also electing a new chair. So maybe there's hope, even though I might not be able to be involved.
Well, you served your time, Larry. Don't sweat it.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there at a time when we were doing something really progressive. I would have felt a lot. I would have felt that I spent my time a lot better, if you understand what I mean, a lot more productively. But, you know, I was there for 20 years, so okay.
Yeah, you paid your dues, bro. Thank you. Hey, I'm concerned about the next election. What is it, 2018? I'm afraid that's going to be a slaughter. It's going to get even worse.
We get a new governor.
The reapportioning.
Yep. I mean, if you look at the demographics of that thing, it's not good.
The congressional elections, you mean, Steve?
Yeah, yes, just sir. Look at the Senate. 25 Democrats up for re-election, only 9 Republicans.
Yeah, for the Senate, it looks very bad for the Dems, but I think for the House
looks better.
The House, you know, if Trump mismanages things like I am almost certain he's going to, then, yeah, they're going to lose seats, and the question is, are they going to lose enough to lose control? That's what I'm praying for. That's the only chance that there will ever be for Trump to get impeached, because there's no way the Republicans are going to impeach one of their own.
No, but then you get stuck with Pence, so what if he really won?
Impeach them both.
Yeah, well, you know,
I guess you could.
You know, and if we get stuck with Pence...
Then you got Ryan.
Yeah, we have to worry about Ryan, and then on top of that, you know, you've got to worry about the Republican Congress.
The top's thick with crap.
Go, BC. Yeah.
The top layer is thick with crap. They're all of the same ilk. It doesn't matter. You peel off another layer, and they just keep coming off like a, what do you call it, a biofilm that, you know, like a streptococcus.
See, you think all science-y. I go for Greek mythology. I think Hydra.
There you go.
Grabbing Granny's hooter, huh, Bob?
No, a hydra. You know, it's got 3 heads. You cut off 2, it grows 5 more.
Yep.
Well, you know, the practical problem too that the Democrats would have is even if they do retake the House and launch impeachment, you know, and actually impeach Trump and or Pence to convict in the Senate and remove from office, you've got two-thirds of the vote. Oh, yeah. And, you know, the Dems are going to probably be, at the end of the 2018 election, they'll be lucky to have, let's say, 42 seats. They'll be lucky if they don't lose, if they lose only 4, you know? So there's no way in hell they're going to get 3/4 of the Senate to vote to impeach or to vote to convict.
Even if Trump pulls out his gun on Fifth Avenue and starts plugging a few people.
And starts weeing all over everybody. It doesn't matter, you know.
Well, if he does that, I suspect that, you know, maybe a Secret Service will shoot him to protect innocent people, you know.
Or crossfire, you know, just, you know, collateral.
Yeah, yeah. Did anybody notice how unhappy Melania seemed to be at the inauguration?
That woman did not crack a smile all day.
No.
She looked like she was at a funeral.
Yeah.
Did you see when they came off of Air Force One? He grabbed her hand and then she took her hand away.
I didn't see that. No.
Oh, I saw that in the video.
The look on Michelle's when she presented the big box from Tiffany's to Michelle, the look on Michelle's face was priceless, and one almost wondered if she was looking at. It kind of, you know, giving her some sort of a, you know, wink and a nod, you know, help me.
Like the fly?
What Melania was, you mean?
Well, she said something to her.
Oh.
And then Michelle didn't know what to do with the box, and Brock had to take it away and hand it to somebody.
Ah, so it was a gift from Melania to the Obamas then.
Yes, it's gift from Tiffany's. Definitely not gift from Russian FSB security service. It's not Russian gift. It's from Tiffany's.
Pearson has nothing to do with gift.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, by the way, Greg Palast's new movie is streaming for free on his Facebook page, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy.
And awesome movie, bro. Awesome.
You know, and what
do yourself a favor and watch it.
Yeah, and what he says is that Trump actually stole it, but not Trump. I'm not saying Trump personally, but Trump's people, because of the voter suppression. That's what threw everything. You know, that's how the rigging came. Okay.
Well, that's how the Republicans roll, Larry. They try to do that every election cycle. Yep. And if the margin is close enough, then they can actually successfully rig it that way, rig the entire election, you know? Mm-hmm. And that the problem was this election was too close, because if you take away California, you know, I think Trump probably, I don't know if he had more votes than Hillary. It was about equal, maybe. If you take away the California advantage that Clinton had, and you need to... You know, with the damn Electoral College, you've got to, you know, your votes have to be distributed, you know, throughout the country more evenly. Whereas, you know, the Democrats tend to, you know, we tend to like to live in the coastal areas, the cities, you know, that kind of thing, you know, where there's stuff to do.
Well, this is what pisses me off. Only 50% of eligible voters voted. And out of that 50%, Trump got 26%. So we lost this damn thing by 1 point. All we needed to do was get some lazy Dems off their ass and to the polls, and we wouldn't be in this.
Oh,
mess,
but Jesus,
know?
Hillary Clinton, Goldman Sachs speeches. Oh, my God. Neoliberals.
Speaking of the devil, I think she, I was surprised she didn't look more depressed at the ceremony today. She seemed like, you know, she was being a good sport about everything. I mean, what choice do you have, especially if you want to run again for office?
Well,
you
go to the hospital like Pappy Bush and Grandma Bush did.
Well, hey, they, as far as I'm concerned, they're like, they're over 90. They get a pass, Steve, so I'm not going to.
No, I'm not throwing on them either, but come on. What are the odds?
I see where Donald Trump at the lunch made him stand up to get a ovation.
Made who stand up? Everybody else?
Hillary and Bill.
Oh yeah.
Well, look, the excesses are going to pile one upon the other. Pretty soon, I imagine he's going to have all the Democrats wearing you know little velvet waistcoats and harem pants. Okay, I mean it's going to be that bad.
Hey, when do the 30 days of games begin under the Trump administration, Bob? Like they did for the Romans, you know?
Absolutely. Well, no, those are funeral games. No, those are funeral games, Rick. Now quit that.
Oh, are they funeral games? Okay, sorry.
Does anybody remember the pictures of Air Force One after he flew back to Texas on the last flight in that big room with his feet kicked up, smoking a cigar?
No.
And a bunch of other people in the room that looked like they're partying.
I remember when he got in the chopper, when Bush got in the chopper, that people were like applauding, like good riddance, you know? It's like one of the loudest ovations of the day from the crowd.
He is just getting set to go up and fill up the coffers again.
Well, yeah, and you know, I thought I was going to hear from Guy James earlier in the program this evening, but apparently something came up. But I couldn't help reflecting today that 8 years ago I was sitting as Barack Obama was sworn in. I was sitting in a twin-engine United Express crop duster on the runway in Beckley, West Virginia, and we had to sit there for something somewhere between 45 minutes and an hour because all the airspace around D.C. was cleared so that Dim Leader could leave. And so my flight was delayed by about an hour getting into Dulles. And it was, that day was amazing. The metro, you know, metro was free that day. So I had to catch a bus from Dulles in you know, just blue ass cold. From Dulles down to Rosslyn, I think. And then from there, it was my first time on the metro, so I promptly got my ass lost. But the cars were crammed full of people, happy people, excited people. And you look at the picture from today, as compared to 2009, today just looks like cockroaches on a white floor, or maybe ants. And I can't imagine there's anybody walking around with the expressions of delight and joy that that were in evidence 8 years ago.
I'm sure the lobbyists are very happy, Bob.
They're laid up in an opium den or whatever, just delirious out of their freaking minds.
Right, with cocaine and hookers, I imagine, as well.
Well, if Trump hasn't hired them all then, for the great pee-pee finale long about toward midnight, after he's rubbed them down with those emoluments, I'm going to keep working that joke till it's not funny anymore.
Explain this. He hadn't scared the market at all. It keeps climbing.
Well, hell, why would the market be scared? He's put the market in charge of monetary policy. I mean, we got Goldman Sachs coming out our ass now, you know, from all that swamp draining.
Couldn't he cause another housing meltdown? That cabinet member, I can't think of his name.
Oh, Mnuchin?
Name. Yes, that guy. Yeah, he was involved with causing a lot of the housing markdown. And, you know, he said his only regret was having to kick the Octagon mom out. But other than that, he felt bad about, you know, having to evict people. And he didn't want to do it, but...
Yeah, he seemed so heroic in his testimony. I tell you, it's amazing. But if you ask people who got kicked out, they have other words to call him, let's just say.
I've got a lovely note here I just want to share. It just came in a couple of minutes ago.
Please do. I'm going to mute.
It's lovely. It's beautiful when we get correspondence like this because it, you know, it comes from the heart and it shows a little bit of the strength and the cohesive goodness of the community. Greetings. My name is Marcy, and I'm a trans woman. I've been listening to The Horn on and off, depending on my schedule, for the past 6 years and 9 months. I was recommended to your program by Mike Malloy's radio program just about the time of the Upper Big Branch mine disaster. The emotional power you commanded on air in the wake of that tragedy has long stayed with me, and I am particularly fond of the way you address certain subjects. Like many in the Horn family, I've stayed quiet, not being involved in the conversation as such, but that changes now. I'm hoping to be friends with you both here in email as well as through Facebook and occasionally as a caller. I know your usual demeanor eschews such formalities as I'm going through here, but I was raised by a schoolteacher mother who would be appalled that my first communication to you was not via a handwritten or typed letter sent through the United States Postal Service. The purpose of this email is twofold. First, I wanted to let you know how much the Horn and its community has meant to me over these years. I'm nearing 56 years of age. As I've listened to you over the years, I find that we have a great deal in common, including, in no particular order, a love of movies, a love of and respect for history, the art of word-knowing, Star Trek, and various areas of geek and nerddom. Frequently, I find myself thinking that somehow we were siblings separated in infancy, or at least cousins, which could possibly be the case as my father's family came from a wide spot in the road known as Frankfort, West Virginia. We know people in Frankfort. The family that you have created here has become a vital part of my life. As I mentioned above, I'm transgendered. I knew I was female since I was 5. As you undoubtedly remember, growing up in the 60s, we did not have the vocabulary to discuss gender identity, much less any support mechanisms for the trans community. Listening to the horn has provided me with a sense of an open and welcoming community, and in part has helped me to develop the confidence to be my authentic self and begin the coming out process. Oh, fun fact, I'm also very much attracted to women. Yes, that means I'm a trans lesbian. Talk about being in the 1/10 of 1/10 of 1%. On the other hand, I've been able to hide in plain sight for the bulk of my life. I love the goddess of irony. The second purpose is to bring a small ray of sunshine. My personal situation being what it is, underemployment and transitioning, I have rather little to share, but I'm starting a horn subscription, $10 this month. As I indicated previously, I've been on the bench for long enough. It seems I started with the horn at the time of a regional disaster, and now, at the time of a national disaster, I'm going to step up as best as I am able. But wait, it's a Ginsu commercial. There's more! I very much enjoyed the Beat the Swede challenge last year and have heard about the Nudge the Norwegian one for this year. We're slowly working our way through Scandinavia. Well, my maternal grandmother's family is originally from Lithuania. Now, I can't handle the amounts that were pledged for last year or the current challenge, but I can and will do this. Make your fundraising goal for January, and I'll kick in an extra $10. Make it for February as well, 15, March 20, and so forth. With apologies to families with young children listening, I give you the Lick the Lithuanian Challenge for 2017. Now, I don't think the apologies were required. In closing, let me just say that I'm hopeful that this will be a good year for both the Kincaids and the Horn. I know that there are many who are terrified of the prospects of the Trump administration. I think we can get through it if we work together with patience and perseverance. But it will require a lot of work, a lot of patience, and a lot of perseverance. For what it's worth, I never thought I would be part of a civil rights movement until some very brave sisters came out. And now I'm out, too. I don't want a war, but I'm not going back, and I'm not going away. I hope I can get the time to call in soon. Until then, kind regards. Marcy, the Lithuanian lesbian mentat, obligatory Dune reference. Thank you, Marcy. That is a delightful and heartfelt and much appreciated piece of correspondence. And thank you very kindly, and I will make sure that we add the Lick the Lithuanian Challenge to the Norsky Nudge Challenge, and hopefully keep things rolling through the year. Because this is for the group. I mean, we can discuss amongst ourselves, whatever.
It was well written.
It was beautifully written.
Absolutely.
Mama did a good job teaching that art of word knowing there. It's pretty obvious.
Yep.
I keep saying I want this to be a home for the resistance and a no collaboration zone. And there's no set rules for what that means. We'll be figuring that out as it goes along. But I want us to keep being here. And I want this place to be a haven and an open door for people who absolutely want nothing to do with the fascism toward which this country presently turns.
And Bob, am I a cynical bastard, or is it just my observation that every cabinet member is the antithesis of what they're there to allegedly prop up, they're trying to tear down?
Well, this is the heart and soul of conservative so-called Republican philosophy. It's the heart and soul of teabaggerism. Baggerism, bircherism, birtherism, deatherism, ninetherism, tentherism, booger eaterism. And as an adjunct to that, like I said, I had to go out for it. You took me, why were you buying the ginger ale, Bob? I had to go out for ginger ale just before the program started. Now I'm going to get back to that story and finish it, maybe.
Okay.
So on the way back, I'm listening to National Petroleum Radio, who is just doing everything they possibly can to normalize Trump, even though he said he wants to zero out the budget of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Yes, yes, yes. There are dogs out there, and not you, Cletus, you're a sweetheart, but there are some dogs out there that get kicked so much that they expect to be kicked. And maybe that's where NPR is. But they had some clown on as an expert who said, well, you know, Donald Trump's candidacy completely destroyed conservative ideology inside the Republican Party. And I'm like, what? That dude ran right past the rot gut tequila and headed straight to, he's huffing Thorazine gas or something. And there's a new Republican Party with a more nationalist, with a more nationalistic conservatism. In what universe is Donald Trump not conservative? How is denying the existence of climate change not conservative? Can I get a little help here? Anybody? Bueller?
It's not conservative. Whatever.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
It's Betsy.
Yes.
Ooh.
A rarity.
Conservatives don't marry foreigners.
Is that what it is?
That's it.
So it's all based on melanoma?
Yeah. Poor woman. Doesn't she have a big enough cross to bear?
Which one are you talking about?
All of us, for having compassion for these horrible people.
I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, that's where I was. It just sort of kind of leaves you.
And he's from New York.
Well, because there aren't any conservatives in New York. Yes. I guess there was a big protest in New York Thursday night, last night. And one wonders what's... I
watched it.
You monitor these kind of things. Is there any sort of stream coverage of protests or anything going on tonight in D.C., Sparky?
I don't know. I haven't checked, but MoveOn.org was streaming that protest last night on Facebook.
And the dance party, and the dance party at Pence's.
That was somebody else's live stream. I forget. I didn't look at that one too very long. The dance party at Pence's. Oh, it looked like they had a pretty good number of people.
That one looked like fun.
But the rally in New York last night was really good, especially when Alec Baldwin did his Trump imitation.
How could making Tom Price the head of Health and Human Services anything but the opposite of what that stands for? He wants to de-gut Medicaid, Medicare, and watch out, next is Social Security. He's knee-deep in securities fraud. He's wrapped up in stock fraud. I mean, how can...
And the GOP majority don't care.
They don't give a shit, Bob.
But see, you've got a little bit of a leg up on people, Steve, because, you know, being from Georgistan...
Absolutely. It's not far from me.
Or, as we refer to it now, Trumpja.
Right.
You are more likely to know how awful Tom Price is as compared to the rest of us hoi polloi out here in flyover country and out there on the communist left coast.
Oh my God, talk about putting the fox in charge of the chicken house. I mean, this is just overblown, and how anybody with a sane mind could sign off on this is beyond the pale. It is beyond the pale. I mean, you don't have to take my word for it. Just look into it. Google, you know, Tom Price, Health and Human Services, and look at how knee-deep he is in scandals and what he wants to do to gut all our social programs. And I'll tell you what, Social Security is next. Don't think you're safe with that. They're coming after it, and they'll get it too.
Well, and I've used I used this phrase earlier in the evening because it's so damned applicable. Every time a camera touched or captured the visage of Paul Ryan, that little bastard was grinning like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush. Because he knows his wet dream is about to come true.
And there's nobody that can stop him. We don't have the numbers. I mean, these are some dark times.
I'm not trying to be self-defeating or anything, but I can't engage in fantasy in the midst of a fascist coup. 2018 is not going to be the watershed where we take back the House of Representatives.
No.
If for nothing else than the simple reason of the way the districts are gerrymandered.
And the Senate, you forget it. We're going to take a beating.
And for all of those people who brooga Hillary during the election cycle, you're going to love. I mean, L-U-V, love. The Supreme Court picks he's going to get because the notorious RBG can't live forever. Okay? And there's already an open slot. That's two, maybe three, who knows, four. And they will all steamroll through the Senate, and it won't take much for those, and for instance, I know Rick knows what I'm talking about. It won't take much at all to get us back to a good old American Lochner court.
No, it won't.
Or maybe a Plessy court.
Yeah, or a Taney court.
I mean, there was no mention of running Muslims out of the country or anything in the speech today. But the distinctive absence of a Muslim cleric anywhere in the prayer fest, coupled with the fact that he vowed to eradicate radical Islamic terrorism from the face of the earth, that's a quote. I don't know how you're Muslim in the United States right now and not scared out of your wits.
No kidding. I mean, I wonder what Trump's going to do about the, you know, radical Christian terrorists like Dylann Roof. That's what I'm worried about, Bob.
And as we turn more towards a theocracy, who's going to be in charge? The Pope or the Southern Baptist Convention because pretty soon they're going to start really arguing over which dogma is going to be the dogma of the state. I mean, that's really kind of the direction it goes once they've got total power and the Supreme Court's locked up.
I suppose Franklin Graham would be the head of the church, the American, the Republican, American Republican Church, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, until Santorum's, the Cardinal of North America.
There you go.
Great point, brother. Whoever thought we were going to revert to Puritanism?
I don't think we've gotten too far from it, actually, sir.
No, we haven't, sir.
No, that has been one of our chronic diseases. It's what makes us as hung up and weird as we are.
Well, I think that's why we've just been so blatant towards materialism, because we're so spiritually empty.
Well, or remember the nature of Puritanism is and its modern version, American modern neo-Calvinism, is that material wealth is an indication of the degree to which the Almighty has heaped his favor upon you.
Exactly. And the evangelicals have put a little spin on it. You know, the multi-marketing, glitter churches.
By the way, I just had a note. Sparky, you think you may have to restart Skype? Okay, if the room disappears for a minute,
okay,
then it's not because everybody got disappeared. Hey, it's Sparky just restarting. There's some sort of an issue with Skype.
Seems to be a glitch. That's cool. No worries.
Yeah. So nobody's being thrown out, and Agent Fred hasn't gotten his marching orders from
Vlad.
From Vlad's little puppet yet. Hi, Agent Fred. So just stand by. I wanted to go back to the transcript of the speech because this was a grim and dark assessment of our future. We must protect our borders from the ravages of other countries making our products, stealing our companies, and destroying our jobs. It's interesting. They're our products, but someone else is making them.
Can you hear me, Bob?
Yeah, I have you. I have you, Sparky.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No worries. Protection will lead to great prosperity and strength. That's not that far from, you know what? It's not so far from. America will start winning again, winning like never before.
Winning what?
Well, that's kind of up to you to decide, I think.
I think it would all behoove us to reread Arthur Miller's The Crucible again and really read it and try to take it in and understand what the hell is going on.
And this, we will reinforce old alliances and form new ones and unite the civilized world against radical Islamic terrorism, which we will eradicate from the face of the earth. That form new alliances language, that's Russia. See, he's telling us. He's telling us he's in bed with his boyfriend Vlad. And some people who are either too dim to realize it or are, I don't know, active participants in it, try to pretend that there's nothing disturbing about that at all. Most importantly, we will be protected by God. This was said, by the way, and I don't know how many different faith traditions there are where you bow your head when you're praying. Everybody in that sparse crowd today bowed their heads, it seemed, when the gospel sharps got up to pray, and the collaborator rabbi. Except Trump. Trump stood there, staring straight ahead with his eyes wide open, like he was the person being prayed to. I mean, it's seared into my brain from my Southern Baptist upbringing, with every head bowed and every eye closed. I mean, you hear it on Wednesdays. And I've seen Muslims, you know, who hold their hands out, palms up, and bow their heads toward their hands while they do their have their conversations with their deity. Presbyterians, Roman Catholics, Episcopalians, Lutherans, Apostolic Holiness, Pentecostals, Methodists, all bow their heads when they pray. But not Trump, who says, most importantly, we will be protected by God.
I always thought the subservient bow your head thing was kind of weird to begin with.
I mean, Steve, I don't participate, but isn't that what they do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And this man's got his head up, staring straight ahead?
Right. He's not with the program. He is the program.
And then this. And this, I did. I got chills. I mean, this was terrifying to me. It's time to remember that old wisdom Our soldiers will never forget that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. Bleed.
And what's this I hear? He's trying to establish a holiday called Patriots Day?
I saw some mention of that. What would that be? I mean, don't we have Memorial Day and Veterans Day and Independence Day already?
Yeah, I mean, does he want to just set it up so he can have his military parades on that day?
Hello, Tracy.
Hi. How y'all doing?
Are we sober?
Terrible.
I have to work, so I am sober. But I just remember I did open a bottle of red wine to make chicken cacciatore with. So you know what? Let the pouring begin. I totally forgot about that.
Well, you're welcome.
Hey. Thank you, Bob. I should go decant it now. And because I actually bought these glasses the other day from Cost Plus World Market that you can use for red and or white wine. It's the way they're shaped or something.
I love multitasking glassware.
Exactly. You know, that day I bought that and I bought pint. I bought pint glasses as well for the beer that I shouldn't be drinking while I'm on Weight Watchers, but I can drink wine.
Well, you know, boys under the bridge always said to me, it comes in its own glass, Bob. and if you can't screw off the top, don't bring it down here. We ain't got no corkscrews.
Oh, no, that was the funny part, because somehow our corkscrew came up missing, and I'm like, because it's been storming down here for people who know L.A., I mean, actually, one of my trees almost fell, and it's a new tree, so I'm praying that it doesn't get any windier than it has been. They closed the Burbank, the basin on Burbank Boulevard, which kind of sucked, because I was on my way to my school run, and there was the CHP like, nah, gotta turn around. And I'm like, God damn it. But we need the rain. It's just that the ground is so dry, and stuff doesn't, you know, seep into the ground at a rapid enough pace. So I don't think we're going to really have serious floods. But then again, I don't live in the burn area. So, Duncan, how's it up? Sparky, how's it up there with you?
It's no problem, Tracy. We got more damn water up here ready to send to Southern California. You can shake a stick at.
You'll be watering your sand in no time flat, Tracy.
Absolutely.
We got a canal system that will just get it down to you lickety-split when you need it.
well, so Armageddon has begun. I see that he has taken up. So LGBTQ people don't exist on the website anymore. Civil rights don't exist. What else did he take away? Climate change?
Yeah, that's gone too.
He made sure the first thing he did was raise interest rates for people trying to get first-time home buyers and all these good things. But he's going to make them. So explain to me again, because I'm still trying to figure out how the fuck he's making America great again. He's already done.
Well, you missed, Tracy, you missed one. He's also signed an executive order that directs federal agencies to, quote, ease the burden of Obamacare.
And how do we ease the burden of Obamacare?
By getting rid of it.
Oh, okay.
He signed it flanked by Vice President Pence and senior aides Rince Priebus, racist Bannon, and his son-in-law Jared Kushner, who's in the government despite anti-nepotism laws that would otherwise prevent him.
Oh, this is going to be so awesome! Oh, and then in melanoma.
How could it be, Tracy? How could it be awesome to have Trump do all this.
Vulcan ears, stuff. Larry. Vulcan ears.
Oh, okay.
Sarcasm.
Okay, I'm sorry. My Vulcan
ears. No. It's just, you know, my wife has already told me that, you know, we need to just go ahead and move to Canada. But they won't. Redistribute it? What? Redistribute it? Yes. So. Now, redistributed is a new word. Caught that today.
Yes, thank you, Jan.
Tracy, did Brad Sherman attend the inauguration, or did he boycott it? Because I know Barbara Lee said she was going to boycott it.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't, because I've been so caught up trying not to, you know, eat my gun. I don't have a gun. I'm just kidding. I will never do that. That was a horrible thing to say, especially since my grandfather committed suicide that way. But I've been trying my damnedest just to keep myself from losing what's left of my mind.
Yes, I understand.
I was very proud of, you know, John Lewis. And from the last count, they said 70 representatives. But like Bob, you said, not one senator. And I thought, Barbara Boxer? Really, bitch?
Well, and look.
Barbara Boxer is gone.
But who was that?
We got Kamala Harris now.
No, but who was, wasn't that her giving this, wasn't she in the Lincoln something doing something, talking about the Lincoln clock? Wasn't that her?
Missed that part.
I don't know. All I know is
Bernie was there at the luncheon, and Hillary was there at the luncheon, and Chuck Schumer was there at the luncheon,
Well, see, my thing was, one of my favorite pictures of the day was my girl Michelle Obama, her face.
Yeah, accepting the...
Y'all kept that.
Yeah, I think the internet figured out what was in that box, Tracy.
What was it?
She was giving Michelle her speech back.
Come in, son.
Oh, and by the way, 10 minutes past the hour, and big thanks going out to Cletus, who went out into the yard and dug into the bone stash and upped the fundraising by $10. Thank you, Cletus. Cletus is a very good girl. She's a sweet puppy.
By the way, today is the 5th year anniversary of the day that Jan told me she liked me.
Y'all have a liking anniversary?
Well, no, this is, you know, it's 5 years ago today. We went to Outback Cafe or restaurant or whatever it's called. And she told me the reason why it's so hard for her to be around me is because she just can't. She wants to, it was hard for her to be around me because it was hard for her to keep her hands off of me. And I said, oh, how sweet. And that's cute. But you know, I'm straight. That happened 5 years ago today.
Aww.
So in honor of our 5-year anniversary of me finding out maybe I am a lesbian, I'm going to do this for the first new subscribers. I will add $5 to their, whatever they do, to their subscription. In order, so 5 for 5. Did that come out there?
Okay, okay.
Doing a word salad?
No, let's see. So the next 5 people who subscribe. You're going to bump their subscription by $5.
Yes.
Beautiful. Okay, so we need 5 new $10 a month subscribers, and your first month will be a $15, courtesy of Tracy. Thank you, Tracy. That's mighty sweet.
Yeah. It took me a minute to come up with those numbers. You and I are both terrified.
We're not so good at deciphering.
No. Oh, somebody just said something sweet to me on my Facebook page today. It was something that I was posting like crazy, reposting, and a forget which of the things I reposted, but oh, it was about how the reason why most Republicans didn't get our former president is because he was too intelligent. And one of my friends wrote, people have a fear of intellectuals, especially those that drive cabs. I was like, gee, thanks. So that made me smile today as well. Because I needed everything, everything that I could possibly think of to smile for, I had to. Especially when my wife was insisting upon having the pageant on today. And I kept screaming at her, if you want to stay married to me, you must turn that off. She's like, I just want to see the Obamas go away, you know, fly away. I said, no. I said, okay, if you're going to have it on, at least turn down the volume. Because I can't hear them keep saying President Trump. So she did turn down the volume. And once the Obamas left, she finally turned it off and started watching Law and Order or something. I don't know. But you took one for the team, Bob. You actually listened to the speech. Now, my question for
I'm not okay.
Now did you hear you say something about making that we all bleed, the patriots and all of, you know, black, brown, yellow, purple, blue, and white, we all bleed perfectly in his sight? This coming from a man who, how many deferments did he get from serving in the Vietnam War?
Yeah, wasn't that four?
Was it four or five?
Well, I mean, Cheney had five because that's how we named him Five Deaf Dick. Well, I mean, I thought it had a kind of Thug Life sort of sound to it at the time. Doesn't it?
I'm sorry. That was the most awesome thing I've heard. But, see, speaking of awesome things.
Oh, no, here, before we run on, here's the quote again. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, which was, you know, 16 years ago. He has ciphering troubles, too. Ready to unlock the mysteries of space. Really? To free the earth from the miseries of disease. How are we going to do that if nobody's got any fucking health care? And to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir ourselves, lift our sights, and heal our divisions, and grab our... No. It's time...
Grab us by the
yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the pull. It's time to remember that old wisdom our soldiers will never forget, that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. Has this stupid fucker never even seen the opening to Patton? You know, the part where he said, where George C. Scott says, in the guise of General George Patton, the object of war is not to die for your country. The object of war is to make the other poor bastard die for his country. We all bleed the same red blood of patriots. Except I didn't want to bleed any of my red Trumpy blood because it's exceptional blood, it's tremendous blood, it's beautiful blood. So that's why I got all those deferments during Vietnam.
It's Bigly blood. Bigly.
Yeah, it's slimy, slimy bastard couldn't even enlist in something he'd be safe at, like Bush.
Yeah, at least Bush went to the Texas Air National Guard and protected the Rio Grande, especially the dry parts, from the Viet Cong.
I mean, I didn't want to get drafted, so I enlisted in the Air Force.
See, you were smart.
But I had some scary times in the Air Force when I thought,
I think I told you the story about my brother who was in the Air Force, and he was in one of Saddam's palaces, and he got up to go smoke, and as he left the building, a missile came right through and blew up where his desk would have been, was, and had he not gotten up to smoke, he would have been dust. and he still has PTSD when he hears certain sounds. He got into an accident not long after he came home, and the airbag exploded, and it was the same smell as it was, the same smell that he smelled when he went back into the palace after the missile went through. And he's like, you know, so yeah. You know, yeah. People just think just because you're in the Air Force that you're not going to see combat, or if you're not a fighter pilot or what have you. But there's still some, like you said, Dunk, there's still some scary shit. You were in fucking Vietnam, for God's sake.
No, I was in Thailand.
Well,
close enough.
But when I was in Guam one night, I almost had my head crushed by the tip. Working on a tip gear of a B-52, I almost had my head crushed on a B-54 stand. I came within a quarter of an inch of the wing crushing my head. It stopped and went back up again. The wings on a B-52 are designed to flex, and we were on the very far end of the runway at Anderson, and the winds were pretty good this one day. And I'm working on a work order to check out this tip switch on the tip gear, because when they retract the gear, there's a switch that's supposed to tell them that it's retracted, and it was not working right, so I had to fix the damn thing, which was ended up being replaced the whole damn switch.
I had a an interesting thing at school yesterday. We had
hey Betsy,
hey, how are you, Tracy?
I'm doing so, honey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. So I teach refugees, first, second, and third year refugees. And we had a lockdown drill. And fortunately, all except one of my kids who are most likely to freak out were with me that period. And I had no warning. Usually I know an hour in advance, and I tell my kids, or I arrange to be where they are. And this one, I had no warning, and we went and sat on the floor against the chalkboard, and everything was basically fine. And then halfway through, the assistant principal went to try to open every door and see if he could hear our voices. And he couldn't hear our voices. We were quiet. But that itself set two of my kids off. And then, this is sixth and seventh graders. And then when we had, when they got on the announcements to say that the drill was over, they actually have just, it sounds like, bah, 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 and then the secretary starts speaking. Well, that bop, bop, bop freaked out one of the two girls who was already a little bit apprehensive. And we ended up having a conversation, and my kids, nobody knew the word hand grenade, but three kids in the room were able to tell me about the little football that was hard like a rock, that when you throw it, it goes boom, and about their experiences with that. And the little girl who started crying when the announcement came back on told us about I don't know if it was a hand grenade or a bomb that exploded right near the house where she lived, where she was sleeping when she was 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I got to deal with a lot of PTSD yesterday.
So. Oh, and it's etched in their memory now, Betsy. They'll never forget it.
No. But you know what? We lost 10 minutes of math to talk about bombs and grenades.
Just think if you have to start duck and cover drills, those would freak them out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just sat there, and I'm not supposed to talk either, but I was just whispering, it's only practice. It's not real. There's no gun. There's no bomb. It's not real. It's just practice.
Well, luckily, when a drill's coming.
I didn't know this one.
Oh, you didn't?
I was totally lying. I had no idea.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because that used to freak me out when I was working on B-52s in Guam, because we had 16 B-52s with four 20 megaton hydrogen bombs apiece. Every time we had a drill, it freaked me out. I didn't know whether it was real or it wasn't or not.
It's scary stuff.
Well, it begins to play on your nerves when it happens. I was glad to get the hell out of there and go back to Thailand.
I bet.
Well, on a happy note, I actually got approved today for another reason why I love California. I was listening. Who was it that called yesterday, Bob, to talk about his insurance and how his wife got it?
That was Keith.
I was in the store, and I'm just listening to him talk about this, and think, you know, and it's like, I just got a letter in the mail today about, because, you know, I have a disability, and most of the only thing I could really do right now is do cab driving, but I want to be a therapist, but, you know, school is expensive and stuff like that. Good news is I actually got approved for Department of Rehabilitation, and my appointment is on the 14th of next month, and they'll help me pay for school so I can finish and get my degree and whatnot and so forth. And because I live in California, I just can't imagine. I don't know how, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Obamacare, because I'm terrified for my son. I'm on Medicare. I have the Medicaid option that I only use for prescriptions, really use for drugs. And I found, and this drug that I need for to help me focus and with my memory, because I've been having issues with my memory and focus. Yeah, highly recommended. Probably the best drug out there. It's kind of like a Ritalin, but it's time release and all that. My insurance doesn't cover it. $182. But I'm not going to do it. So I got to find something that's comparable. But $182, because see, basically used to be before, most of my medications used to be free. The stuff that I take for bipolar, that's still free. But like the stuff that I take for my pain, I mean, I really can't complain. It was free. Now it's $5, but still, I can't complain about certain amounts of money, because I have a wife and I'm able to do more than most people do. But then I think about those who don't. And I know, and the trouble, because this is just California, there's only so much we can do to stave off, you know, what do we call them, Twitler? But, you know, Duncan, anybody, do we know what's happening in California as far as, Cover California, what's happening out here?
No, we won't know till they repeal it. I mean, I'm off Cover California now. I'm on Medicare.
Oh, because of how old you are?
I'm 65.
Okay.
Now.
I've
been on Medicare since October.
See, I'm on Medicare as well, but I don't know what people are going to do. Because aren't they talking about cutting Medicare as well?
Yeah, they're talking about cutting Social Security and raising the retirement age.
Raising the retirement age again.
To 70, probably.
Tracy, you and me are already at 67.
So we're good. We're quote unquote grandfathered into 60.
No. I mean, no, we got screwed back when Tip O'Neill and Ronnie rolled up each other's shirt sleeves and decided to get down and get all bipartisan and screw, you know, our generation, because we were too busy being 20-somethings. Right. Hey, I got one for you. We got any comic book fans? I know we got comics fans in the Horn Family Community Congregation.
Come on. We're nerds and geeks. Of course you do.
Yeah, so you know how earlier I mentioned that joke about how that was Melanoma giving Michelle back her speech?
I'm sorry, that's just...
These dim half-wit piss ants can't open their mouths without stealing from somebody. My God, anything in Washington, D.C. that is not nailed down, this bunch of mendacious punks will have in whited out rental vans before the week's out. Even the inaugural was a piece of plagiarism.
Oh, the picture?
No, you know who Bane is?
No, the Batman villain.
Bane, the Batman villain?
Yes.
Let me see if the audio will play.
And giving it back to you, the people.
Yeah, and?
Such a fucking, excuse my language,
hold on,
such
hold
a
on.
Fucking con artist.
Hold on, Larry.
Oh, Larry.
Ah, come on. All right, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it on the other machine. Because this one's too good to let go by. It would help if I could freaking type. Shut up. Go away, I'm baiting.
Tracy,
we gotta find the little
God,
thing to
Tracy.
Laugh at.
Suppressed laughter is the worst, man.
Oh, God.
Come on,
Bob. Oh, dear God. No, I'm finding stuff. He had scotch tape on his necktie. Classy. You know, to keep his neck, his Chinese-made Trump necktie, to keep the two parts of the necktie, to keep the back part from showing. Yeah, it had scotch tape.
Oh, my God.
We have no idea. We have no earthly idea just exactly how much just disappeared. I mean, yes.
That's 10-year-old Barron, or that's Trump himself with the scotch tape?
No, that's Trump.
Okay.
Fair question. Fair question. Absolutely fair.
Here's how I keep it straight. Trump has the scotch tape. Barron drinks scotch.
It's probably true. Hey, Scott. Hey, Punky.
Well, hell, look at him. That kid is not completely there. He looks slightly shell-shocked or something. And yeah, granted, he's 10. We don't really do very well at comportment.
Yeah, how old were Sasha and Malia?
Well, yeah, you know, so if it's not a matter of age and not being not doing too well in the social graces.
Oh, but Scott, they threw a fit. Trump threw a fit, and the internet threw a fit, and people were horrified. When actually, in an act of compassion, Rosie O'Donnell said, you know, lay off the kid. I hear he's not okay. And I think she said something like, I know what it's like to have to deal with a differently abled child.
Oh, he's not. He's perfect.
Exactly. Now, see, that's the thing. If there's something, it'll be like he's a Scientologist. There will be nothing wrong with that child. And no matter how much help he may or may not need, we will never know.
Okay, let's try this clip again because it's too good to pass up.
and giving it back to you, the people.
And we give it back to you, the people.
The first part was Trump. The second part was Bain.
Well, it's kind of like when Reagan was recounting to someone, I think in a speech, something that he was, you know, maintaining up and down actually happened. And they looked into it, and it turned out it was something from a script from a movie that he was in like 40 years before that.
Yeah, but he had Alzheimer's at the time.
No, this was fairly early on. I mean, yeah, he might have had the beginnings of it, but it wasn't the ravages. I mean, he was just speaking in terms of his own goddamned reality. Personally, I think reality is overrated, you know? It's for people who can't cope with drugs or booze. You know, Punky says yes. Punky says amen.
Hi, Punky. Hi, Scott.
So, anyway, I didn't mean to jump in like that, but...
You know,
I did mean to jump in like that. Who am I kidding?
Well, what I was saying is, he's such a damn fucking con artist. It's just a con all the way through. I know I'm taking it too seriously, and too cynically, but that's...
Well, rule number one with a flim-flam man or a con artist is the object of the con has to be behaving in a manner that's consistent with being okay with being conned or flim-flammed. And I think that's right. Every con I've been that's been perpetrated on me, you know, I've had some responsibility in the dynamic. And that is, yeah, it's a bad thing for them to con me, but 9 times out of 10, I was fertile ground for the con to occur on or in.
Okay.
No, but anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's what psychologists have told me. Said you had to be willing, and I think. The Eagles song said, you know, she can't take you anywhere you don't already know how to go.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
A lot of truth in those songs. I wish you all could see Punky. The last 2 days, my sleep cycle has been shot all to hell, okay? So I was literally up, with the exception of dozing off in the chair, for something like 48 hours. And last night in the wee hours this morning, I said, well, what the hell? I'll stay up. I'll watch the speech, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Oh, well, Punky's freaking out.
No, he's pissed off because I overslept. I didn't. Long story short, after being awake more or less for 2 days, I slept for like 6 hours. Okay, they could have set a bomb off out front, and I wouldn't have stirred. And finally woke up. I think I woke up about a little after 4, which now the sleep cycle is totally screwed. But, you know, we got 2 more big storms coming through here, and I'm staying in, puttering around. Yes, Punky, we'll get to you, you little bastard.
Hey!
Poor
wow.
Poor Punky.
There was a delightful bit of fun had... by, I guess, reporters for Reuters. They decided to walk around the inauguration and ask people wearing Mike Merck Great Again hats where they got them, how much they paid for them, etc. Because the inaugural contained these words: from this moment on, it's going to be America first. We will follow 2 simple rules. Buy American and hire American.
Oh, so, for God's sake.
So the first person, the Reuters reporter, ran across was Rob Walker, 44, who had driven to Washington from Georgia with his wife, Abby, 36. Her middle name's Normal. Abby someone.
Abby Normal. Abby Normal. You're so good.
I dated her sister for a while. YB.
YB, yes.
YB Normal.
And so they asked Rob and Abby where they got about their Make America Great Again caps. And Abby said, "Oh, God, I hope it's not made in China." And then she turned it over after they'd already paid for it and looked at the label and she said,
"Made in China.
China, don't tell anyone." Then there was Joshua Rojas, age 25, and Elisa Young, age 28, who had come all the way from Texas to the Clavern, and she had her Elisa did. She had her a pink Mike Mark Great Again hat. She said,
"Okay,
I loved it as soon as I saw it. I bought it right over there from one of the vendors for $20." So the reporter says, "Was it made in America?" She says, "I don't know where it was made, actually. Let me check." And she takes off her hat. "Oh, no. It's made in Vietnam." Then there's Austin Araco, 22, from Arkansas. And he had him a Mike Mark Great Again hat. And he said, "I bought this hat the day he won the election. From his website, of course. I wanted to make sure I supported his fund. I don't want to buy a knockoff. I bought the hat for $30, shipping included."
I rest my case.
Where'd it come from? Andrew then checked his hat. Bangladesh? And his daddy looked at him and said, "You mean Bangladesh?" Victoria Scott, 13, and her brother Andrew. That was Andrew, Bangladesh. So, you know, buy American unless it's a Trump tie, which is made in China, or unless it's a MAGA hat, which is made in either Vietnam, China, or Bangladesh.
You know, they really, Mercedes was making a comment. Okay. Mercedes was making a comment. She said they should really say, "Make America Hate Again," because that's what they're doing.
That's what it's about.
Sorry.
Bob.
See.
And group, here's my question. When he got to the, here's my preamble, followed quickly by my question. When he got to the part in the speech about all the imported goods, okay, I'm thinking, well, that's going to piss off a lot of his own supporters, because if they take everything that's not made in the USA out of your typical Walmart,
it's empty.
There's going to be a lot of empty space, okay? And where do a lot of these people shop? Virtually all of them, okay? Walmart, they waddle on down with their, you know, with their lard-ass imported pants and pajama pants.
You can find them in rich profusion, Scott, simply by going to peopleofwalmart.com. Don't forget your eye bleach when you do it, though.
Well, I haven't shopped at Walmart for a couple of years. Okay, and that arose. Part of it arose out of the fact that the workers are so low paid that the workers have to depend on government help just to make it from week to week. And that's only part of why I stopped shopping. I couldn't deal with the PSTD from walking in there and seeing these people. There's, you know, the circus is alive and well. Barnum and Bailey hasn't gone. The sideshow is now daily at Walmart. Okay.
We got an old Walmart building here, and it's close to the railroad tracks. I think they could do something with it for FEMA camp, because they built the new Walmart next behind it, the superstore I've never been in the place, but it's just sitting there, big old building, not doing nothing.
Low prices every day. That's the Walmart way. Jesus, come on, give me a break.
Haven't shopped there in over 6 years. Haven't heard a commercial from there because I didn't watch TV. So, no, don't know anything about them.
Also, my guess is that they probably got the city to buy the building for them anyway, or at least the building to replace the old one.
Well, Walmart never actually builds its own buildings. Walmart leases.
Here in town?
Walmart leases from a property management company.
And then here, when they built the new Super Walmart, they had to update the traffic signals and resurface the intersection that it served. Or they couldn't build it.
Well, I got back late today. And a lot of people were depressed on the radio when I was listening on what radio I could receive out here that wasn't country music. And I just like to say, Obama came in. They gave him a Nobel Prize for what he was going to be the best president ever. And I'm just hoping that aim low with Trump, aim really, really low, and just be happy with whatever comes out. And maybe he won't be as bad as we thought Obama was going to be good.
Well, one thing's for sure, Obama has secured his place in history, okay? He was preceded by W, and he was followed by Trump. Hell, even I could look good as the 44th president, given those circumstances. I mean, even if Obama had done half the things that he was able to get done, he would still be, he ought to be on Rushmore.
Also, when Obama came in, he was very slow at a lot of things, very slow and determined, and tried to bargain. Where Trump, and really you couldn't lay a lot on Obama, because he was handed such a nasty plate. In the case of Trump, he's doing everything he can to sign over and undo Obama as fast as he can. So in weeks, if not days, he's going to own everything he does. So instead of a good 8 to 9 months before Obama really had his own things kicking in, where he wasn't just trying to deal with the emergencies Bush left him, Trump is going to own every stupid thing he does from tomorrow.
Oh, you really think, Snork? Because I think every bad thing that goes on from this day forward is going to be that Obama's fault.
That's probably what he'll say.
And that's probably what the Trumpanzees will believe. And that's what Fox will tell them. Just as a matter of perspective, I do want to point out one thing. And that is this. This is the 20th day of January. Tomorrow will be the 8th anniversary of a meeting that by almost any measure constituted treason. Tomorrow will be the 8th anniversary of the meeting between Mitch McConnell and John Boehner and Jim DeMint and a whole bunch of other senior congressional Republicans, at which they determined that regardless of the needs of the country, regardless of the good of the United States of America, that they would do all in their power to stop anything that Barack Obama wanted.
And I really think they should have. I think they should have done. There should have been some criminal ramifications from that. And it was really sad that I don't think there was even an attempt at any investigation. Giving Hillary a bone, if she had even walked on the sidewalk outside that meeting, she would have been crucified.
Bob, I thought that happened at the luncheon on Inauguration Day.
Nah, well, maybe, but I was always under the impression that it was a specifically called meeting.
It was definitely within 24 hours.
That's not the worst part of it.
Frank Luntz was there. Newt Gingrich was there.
That's not the worst part of it. Now, 8 years later, you can't find a member of the GOP power establishment that doesn't brag about it. It's a point of order. I mean, a point of pride that they'll come right out and name it and claim it and make it theirs. And see, when Bush came into office in 2001, it was as a result of having stolen the 2000 election. Okay, I think we all agree on that. There's a dynamic in karma, for lack of a better word, that when you steal something, you can't truly enjoy it in a way that really, really works for you on a metaphysical level. And I think the 8 years of Bush's two terms is exhibit A of that notion. Well, now here we've got a brand new guy coming in from Bush's party who also got into office through nefarious means. One wonders if that same dynamic is not going to play out during his time. Now, the question becomes, how is that going to work for us? You know, see, we're down the ecosystem, okay? The people at the top always make out. They always do all right. They never get any on them. But we're downstream from that shit. You know, we're like the people living in the holler downstream from the fucking coal operation. Is that a good analogy, Bob? That's
spot on, yeah.
You know, and sooner or later, it's going to dawn on people, you know, Mark Twain said, history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes, okay? And that, you know, hopefully, if people aren't too taken in and gullible and blind and willfully ignorant, hopefully it's going to dawn on people what the hell has been going on, lo, these many years. I hope. I mean, that will be our only hope, I think.
Well, we will take any hope we have where we can find it.
Yeah, if they let us vote again.
Well, we may have seen our last inauguration.
Well, no, we have not. Yeah. Trust me, we have not. I mean, I think people are gloom and doom and getting wound up here. You know, the rest of the world is not going to let the American people down either, I don't think. Believe me, they're not all too pleased with Trump. If you saw the reaction to just its speech today, if any of you read the foreign papers, foreign language papers, they are like fucking pissed at this asshole. I mean, they are really fucking pissed. And they're not going to make it easy. They're not going to make it any easier on him either. So he's going to have battles from all sides.
Yeah.
Well, except Putin.
Bob, would you listen to any of the people that are talking about what we say doom and gloom, like the Chris Hedges kind of people, which, you know, I know he seems negative and nihilistic, but when I hear him or when I've heard him in the past, it seems as though he's been spot on where the, you know, he always wants to alert people to the very worst thing that can happen if we don't wake up, and he's already gotten to that place, and he's saying that I resist fascism because I resist fascism, and I also resist not because I feel, you know, I may not win, but I have to do the right thing, or I may not win, but at least I want to be able to tell people and tell my grandchildren that I tried, even in the face of whatever it is, you know. So, I don't. What do you think, Bob? I just, you know, you said you knew him, and
I didn't say I know him. I've met him, and okay. I've had a conversation with him. And I understand the perspective that he comes from, but I have no problem saying that in my world, he certainly speaks to my confirmation bias. He says things that I think in many ways are true. But there is an aspect of there's something in the way he writes that to me smacks of come on, let's you and him fight. You know what I mean by that, Larry?
Oh, you mean me fight the reader fights with him?
No, the reader fights with somebody else while Chris stands aside and watches. And then writes an article about it.
Oh, okay.
Can I say something here?
Yeah, anytime, Sparky.
I wonder if anybody saw Jeremy Scahill's live feed today, the RoboCops that were blocked off an intersection. It looked like they had space, you know, the RoboCop suits on and the helmets and everything, and the faces behind the shields, they didn't move or anything. He said, referred to them as what they are. He walks down the line of them. He said, look at the robots here. And then this gal comes walking up to him. She's got the RoboCops had these round shields that I've never seen before. And this gal comes walking up with the square kind of police shield thing with the handle in the back and everything. And she's a protester, and it's got on the front. It says something, my body or something. Is there shield against the assault on women she's going to have at the rally tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But I mean, these cops just stood there frozen. They never moved. They did. The shields didn't move. Their eyes didn't move. They're just there. And he said, I don't think I can get any of them to talk.
Sparky, I just wanted to mention, and this is a promo for a new show. I'm not being paid for it. There's going to be a new Intercept podcast. It's going to be available from Monday. That Jeremy Scahill, Glenn Greenwald, and Laura Poitras are putting out. And I've sent out some emails to you, Bob, about various things, along with Jules and
I saw those. Thank you, Larry.
Some other people. So I just wanted to let people know that if you're interested in checking out the new Intercepted podcast, that's out there. And nobody asked me to do this promo.
Don't worry about it. You don't have to. You don't have to issue the disclaimer. Okay.
And if you talk to Angry or anybody, please say hello. I wish him well. And everything.
Okay, he was just here last night.
Okay, great.
Given the violence that took place. Well, you know, the property damage that took place today. Any violence done was done by the police. Human violence, that is. But given everything that went down today, I wonder what kind of head-cracking mood they're going to be in tomorrow when two or three times as many people as showed up for the inauguration are going to be there for the Women's March. Because it could be more than interesting. I mean, just for today, as far as the protests were concerned, there were more protest permits issued today than in I think I heard that the average number of protest permits for an inauguration over the last several was about 12. And they issued 120 today. The bus parking permits are like 10 times as many for tomorrow as they were for today.
I know Michael Moore led a protest in D.C. today.
Oh, and by the way, some confirmation coming from Arnold. It's called the Caucus Room Conspiracy, what we were talking about, and it took place the night of the inaugural ball. So everybody was about half right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Bob, you and I were each halfway there.
Yeah. And it you know, it should be remembered as an active open hostility toward the people of the United States.
To change the subject, Bob.
Yes.
I'm going to go off and I'm going to binge watch a new series that come on Netflix today called Frontier. It's about the fur traders and Hudson Bay Company in Canada.
Oh, that sounds kind of fun.
In the early 1700s. I'm already about three quarters of the way through the first episode. It looks promising.
Well,
a history buff.
Agnes and I finished off Westworld.
Mm-hmm.
And last night we finished The Man in the High Castle Season 2. We tried to start Hell on Wheels. But that first episode was kind of hard. The first 15 minutes of the first episode was kind of hard to stomach. Especially in light of the fact that it starts with Civil War revisionism, saying that Sherman's march opened a door into darkness. But we talked about it, and we're going to go back and try it again. So, Frontier is the name of this new one?
Yeah, it just started streaming today.
Excellent. Well,
and it's got redcoats in it.
Well, that'll be fun.
And the Hudson Bay Company, you know, was just corrupt as shit. And raped the continent. I mean, and it's got French in it, I guess, and everything. The whole history of that area is just, I mean, Indians.
French.
So it looked.
British?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds interesting. I think we'll probably give it a check out. It's time to get out of here. Thanks, Sparky, for moderating. I really appreciate it. And thanks, everybody, for chiming in. Thank you thank you for your first evening's participation, BC. Thanks to Steve from Georgia, Stan. Larry, it's nice to have you pop by. Good to see you pop in, Snork. Rick, you were rather silent, but thanks just the same. Thanks, thanks Scott and Punky. Thanks, Jules, and thanks, Betsy, and thanks, everybody in the chat room. And I realize I screwed up. I didn't take we had calls on the stress line that I tried to get on, but they got hung up because I get caught up and so forth. So that sometimes happens, and I apologize. Thanks to everybody who has contributed to help keep the program on the air. Thanks again to Andy for the Have a Show on Me in memory of his father. And thanks to everybody who participates in this little resistance community. Thank you one and all. Thank you to our all volunteer staff. Thank you, Sparky. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And one last thing, a note, and I think this is fitting to end on, coming from Steve in China, Converse Conversing. First thing you, America, need to realize just how shit deep you are in the corporate bubble. And this is what the world for too many years has been saying. Ignore it at your own peril. It isn't a matter of knowing just how meaningless and fascist American media are. And by this I mean how fascist it is. It is a monolith, a singularity of trivial non-information, misdirection, and ultimately commodification. I do not plan on living in China forever or anywhere like it. I work here, experience the culture, do a little job. My real thoughts, my intellectual culture, is a million miles away. Here, as elsewhere at various times, I've escaped the American bubble of isolation and pro-American hubris that is the hallmark of Americanism, its ideal of instantaneous proffered citizenship. We are the world's great parochial. America is a great country, the Chinese will often say, in that inoffensive, chatty, formally polite sort of way. I will agree, sort of. It is a strong country, so great, another chimes in. And just like that, one senses that the joke is on me. I don't believe it. The Chinese don't believe it. You can't get a foreign newspaper or magazine in China, not a copy of anything familiar at a newsstand in an airport. Still here, the Chinese know the smell of horse shit when they smell it. Even they are not so deep inside the corporate bubble as the average untraveled, globally disconnected American citizen. It is a kind of talisman with us, the insidious notion that citizenship, consumerism, the neglect of an individual vote or a popular majority can add up somehow, miraculously, to anything like freedom or equality, to self-determination or a peaceful world. In a culture that also includes the construct of winner-take-all in its most important institutional act, and lately as a sort of party politics bludgeon, this failure of information and debate, the preferment of ignorance over engagement, can only lead to what is on stage right now. That mode, again. The ugliest of the ugly tantrums the USA, not the nation, falls into regularly. Federal power, states, rights, balderdash. It strips us clean, disembowels effective action, real solidarity in the face of illegitimate power. The rest of the planet is weary of this. The Chinese laugh at it, most respectfully. It amounts to a commodification of conscience. It is a terrible, effective science. And it is a constant topic of conversation from a world perspective. Outside the bubble, even a homeboy like myself, I see it. I feel it. I'm tired of trying to convince the rest of the world that I'm not quite so ignorant as the majority of my fellow citizens. I can measure also the difference, the surreal nature of what is perceived as an original, almost indestructible American obtuseness, a sort of comfort food or pacifier we too often run to, especially when a dark cloud has appeared on the horizon. As for that obtuse bit, you'll have to ask a French citizen to finesse a better description. Regards, Steve. In China. And so with that, the week ends. And so with that, our march into a decidedly dark and uncertain future begins. But we resist. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all. Have a great weekend.